As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Mayor John Hamilton joins us every Tuesday as well from City Hall. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Nice to be with you, Mike, and all your listeners.
It's an exhausting forecast. We had a chance to talk to the director of Public Works, Adam Wason, my good friend, yesterday. And just trying to here's the good news out of all this, and I'll just tie the COVID in to get going. A couple weeks ago, we couldn't get the recycling picked up because the Department of Public Works got it pretty tough. It looks like everybody's kind of on the up and up, going in the right direction. So at least that's good if we're going to get 5 to 8 to 10 to 11. Oh, geez, here comes the snow.
Well, I know we had some quick refresher training to some folks who we may have to pull into driving a snowplow who may not have driven it for a little while because we're trying to keep everybody available with a commercial driver's license. We're getting ready. They do a great job, of course, trying to prepare the streets and then clearing them if they need to. If you have your, you know, if you got a car parked out there on the road, recognize plows may be coming through, so be ready for it, you know.
And be ready for that before you get plowed in, because if we have as much snow as they're talking about, that's going to be not much fun to deal with, obviously. But getting people trained retrained, not everybody has a commercial driver's license, so that's not just as easy as calling into the bullpen, right?
No, it is a specialized skill and important, of course, for safety. And actually, I think the commercial driver's license stands are getting upgraded quite imminently too. So that's by the way, that's a good job. If you want to get a CDL, we can help. And I know there are other employers who are interested in that. So we have people who drive, for example, for the utility department who have those driver's licenses, and they don't usually drive a plow, but we're trying to see if any of them might be willing to step in case we need it. So,
and Adam laid out the procedural part for us yesterday. The biggest challenge the city faces is the constant snow. It'd be nice if it snowed for 3 hours and that was it. If it doesn't happen, Well, that's what we're kind of looking out for. We know that if we can do anything to make their lives easier, that would be great. What is the city's role, Mayor Hamilton, in deciding travel conditions, whether the doors are open at City Hall? Do you take your cues from Homeland Security? Just explain to our listeners really how that process works. And we know if the MCCSC is not having school for the next 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, in the building, we can kind of get a clue of what's going to be happening.
Yeah, we work very closely with the county, which is the formal entity typically in the Homeland Security structure that the emergency management runs from the nation, then through states, and then through counties. We obviously work very closely with them. And for example, if there are road closures or emergency orders that come out due to weather, we typically try to collaborate and coordinate so that we're the same as the county. Now, that's not always the case, because sometimes we're able to get to city streets more quickly, more densely, whatever. But typically, we work with the county for emergency declarations, that might say, hey, don't get on the roads unless it's an emergency for various hours or whatever. Look, I'll tell you the truth, Mike. We have such good experts in the street department and in public works and in the emergency management and in the first responders that a lot of what I try to do as mayor is just listen to their recommendations and try to make sure we're making the common sense, smart decisions. And they're professionals and they've dealt with this a lot, and they get ready for it, and they basically keep us elected officials informed about what they think the state of the community is and how safe it can be and how to move forward. So very typically I'll depend upon those recommendations from the long time city employees.
And very similar to how we're trying to handle the COVID situation, it's a united front. One municipality or one county can't be doing one thing while the other hand's doing another thing. It just doesn't work that way. And it's encouraging to see that we're all on the same page moving forward. Now, with regards to parking or things downtown, do you open the garages to try to encourage people to get off the streets to make it easier for your crews to work to get things done? I mean, 5 to 8 inches, that's nothing to sneeze at, so to speak. That's a pretty good event.
No, yeah, it's certainly everybody's paying attention to that. You know, the garages will be open. Most people probably don't want to leave their cars right downtown in where our garages are. Though if they want to, we certainly are available for that. We haven't opened them up or made them free or something like that. There's still, of course, a lot of people commuting every day to work and need access to those and such. But it, you know, those are interesting suggestions. But in the meantime, be ready. Get your, you know, either get your car in a place where you think you can get it in and out, or try to plan not to need the car for a couple of days, if that's possible, too.
I think B is probably the more likely of the two scenarios you've just painted, because that much snow, and you push it, then you got to shovel, then you got to push some more, and then, yeah, we're trying to get people to be proactive, and it's hard when you look outside and it's 61 degrees and the sun's out and people are walking around in shorts and T-shirts. But, man, this is Indiana, and this just kind of comes with the territory. So we're trying to do everything we can to make sure people are safe. What is your deciding factor on when City Hall is closed? I know we have the Internet, which is very helpful. A lot of services and questions can be answered on that. Is that something you wait to see, or you try to be proactive with that as well?
Well, we very rarely close City Hall, you know, there may be times when people can work remotely, as the school has done. But look, the city government is really important to keep open and active, so we'll do all we can not to close City Hall. I think we've only done it a day or two in my tenure over several years, you know, so it's pretty rare. I hope we won't have to, but we'll certainly pay attention to that, make sure everybody stay safe. But City Hall working is one important part of being safe, being sure we can keep providing all the services that are needed.
Absolutely. And then tomorrow we'll be watching with very, 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 very focused eyes at this time, because the last thing we want is, we don't have a choice. Mother Nature's undefeated. But rush hour, if this thing turns to sleet and ice, that's not a ton of fun to talk about.
It's a good reminder to drive carefully, slowly, gently, with a defensive posture, and you know, don't get in a hurry.
Just go home early. That's the best advice I can give you. Let's just avoid any headaches, and if you can work from home, that might not be the worst thing. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05, and we discuss the big issues facing the city. Let's get COVID out of the way quickly, shall we? Well, COVID hasn't been out of the way quickly, and that's kind of the larger point. And you guys had a record-setting month last month. Here we are on the first day of February. From people I have spoken to, we are hoping here in the next couple weeks we are turning in a better direction. Is that what you gather as well?
We certainly hope so. You know, we don't know, as you referenced, we had over 100 employees test positive in January. We hadn't had more than about 30 or so in any month before that. So that was just a really exceptional surge that we had. It seems to be tailing a little bit, but it's still, you know, really high levels. Of course, if you look at the map on the state website, the whole state's red, right? Remember, we used to be mostly orange and yellow, and now it's obviously taking over the whole state. So we do hope that this will tail off. The hospital is still extremely stressed, so that's really important to continue to help those healthcare providers by masking and getting your boosters and keeping from sharing air if you don't have to. But we'll keep our fingers crossed, but we stay humble, because we've thought we knew what was going to happen next before, and we often were surprised, kind of like the weather.
Yes, kind of like the weather.
Except we don't have the same weather forecasters, maybe.
Well, something's a little bit different there. That's absolutely right. And we had the vaccination clinics going on last week, and hopefully that helped at Sherwood Oaks and at Bloomington South High School and at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And if any more of those come up, we will pass them along to our listeners so people can get covered up on what's happening with Omicron and everything else that goes along with that. Now, one of the byproducts of COVID was turning some of our city streets into outdoor, well, beer gardens, dining facilities, parklets. We have all these fancy terms for them. And it seems like, and it appears, that will be the case starting next month.
Yes, we went in front of City Council and they approved the changes to let us basically put Kirkwood back the way it was. As many people were familiar, where we closed off about a block and a half of it. In addition, we're going to be continuing to let organizations, restaurants that want to use a parklet to take a parking place or two and turn it into outdoor seating. And, you know, I think overall the view was that really worked well, and we had the city council endorse it unanimously, so we're pointed toward that for the summer. We're continuing to evolve, you know, and see how it works. We are charging folks a little bit to make sure they really want it this time as they recover and they're, you know, taking up some public space. We're going to make sure they provide a little compensation for that, and it lets them choose whether it's worth it or not for them.
So you put the ball in their court, essentially. Instead of just dictating that way, they say, hey, it's available if you'd like to pay for it.
Yeah, we still say where that can be done. It can't be done, you know, willy-nilly. But in the areas where we allow the parklets or the use of outdoor dining and all that stuff, we now have kind of a range of fees that you can use to reserve that. And you know, some people are recognize that, look, this is a public space that is being turned into a private space, if you will. So kind of like you can park your private car there if you lease the space. We're letting restaurants lease the space to do their private operations there as well.
What was the feedback on that? Were people happy they had a choice instead of just saying it's going to be all or nothing, or were people wondering, hey, we're already struggling, why are you making us pay a couple more bucks?
Yeah, you know, I think overall it's been extremely collaborative. I think we've worked, and I'll shout out to our Economic and Sustainable Development Department, Alex Crowley, Jane Cooper Smith, and others who've worked so closely with the community of our customers, if you will, to work on this. I think really they understand that if you're going to take up two parking spaces to put in tables that you're going to sell and use as private business, that it's appropriate to pay a reasonable fee. I think we've settled on some reasonable fees. It does not, just for those who do the math, it's not the same as if you had to rent the parking space every hour of every day. Of course, they don't get used that way anyway, but I think it's generally been viewed pretty well. They understand it's reasonable to ask for some compensation for it.
Is the footprint expanding, or is it kind of what we saw last year, just rehashing that because everybody's already familiar with what's going on?
It's basically what we saw last year for the Kirkwood corridor and then the parklets. Now, the parklets are more purely voluntary within the area, so that may tweak around if you have a restaurant that said, nah, we don't think we'll do it this year, or you have a new one that says, yeah, we want to try it. So that will evolve. But the Kirkwood setup will look familiar to people, I think.
Very good. And just an operations question. I don't know. I'm restaurant A, you're restaurant B. Restaurant A says, you know, I'm good, I don't need the spots. Can restaurant B take those spots? Or do you have it mapped out how that's...
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think it is a bit flexible that way of how much space one can use. But I'm not... In other words, I think there is, if you've got two restaurants next to each other, can one of them take all of the space that's otherwise available? I think so, but I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'll
yeah. Just, again, we'll see.
If a restaurant has a question, call our Economic Sustainable Development Department. They'll answer for you.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. So if people are wondering how many spots and things are going to be out there, well, we'll see. And March will be here before we know it. It's the first day of February. The year is 2022. Our guest is Mayor John Hamilton. He joins us every Tuesday. Some Tuesdays are 61 degrees at 426, and some aren't. But here we are. So today, the dedication ceremony was made official of Eagleston, or is it Eggleston?
Eagleson.
Just like it looks, Eagleson. Well, it was officially replacing Jordan Avenue, and that happened today. Tell me all about it.
Well, it was a beautiful day. We really appreciated the weather for that outdoor ceremony. We will have a bigger event in the spring, I think April maybe, but this being the first day that new name is effective, the new signs are up. If you drive on what used to be known as that avenue, Jordan Avenue, you'll see it's now Eagleson Avenue from Davis Street on the south up to 17th Street on the north, and 23 blocks in between, give or take. It's a beautiful thing. We had this Eagleson family. A lot of people may not know that name, but they will. It's an amazing Bloomington family that is kind of a great American story, you know, and a Bloomington story of a man from the 19th century who was actually born into slavery, a black American who then moved to Bloomington in the 1880s, and you know, that from there he sent all six kids to Indiana University. That's kind of why he came here. The whole family has an extraordinary history of accomplishment and teaching and sports and a Tuskegee Airman and PhDs of math and physics and psychology and ministers and teaching in all kinds of colleges and very active here in the community and the religious community and others. And their descendants, there were about, I don't know, 8 or 10 of the Eagleson descendants. Bridgewaters is a local name people may know. It's a descendants of the Eaglesons were there. It was really powerful, Mike. I mean, names matter. Those words of Eagleson Avenue will be spoken by thousands of people in the generations to come, and to recognize that was a new recognition of a family that was part of our history that hadn't gotten recognition was really a special time to do that.
And the collaboration again with the university shows how on a daily basis we all work together. So that's encouraging as well. And it's still the campus river though, right? We haven't got any further on that.
Yeah, IU will be deciding both the north section of Jordan, which runs from 17th up to the bypass, you know, that discontinuous street.
Right.
The extension, they're going to change that name, and the river and the building is going to be up to IU and the Board of Trustees to do. But we did have a really great collaboration with IU on this. We had a little task force of community members, including IU folks, that came up with the Eagleson recommendation, and that went through City Council and Plan Commission and Board of Trustees, I think, and it's official today. So check it out. Enjoy it. It's a really nice bow to history. Of course, this is the first day of Black History Month.
Well, there
month,
we go. Yeah,
so dovetail, cool.
Dovetails right in. And we know the city's very involved with that.
Yeah, we have a big event I'll be doing tonight, part of it, at the FAR Farr Gallery over on Rogers and 4th. And that's a kickoff for Black History Month, our 18th kickoff that we've done. Anyway, it was really nice. And there were, you know, all generations. There was a five-year-old, and there were people in their 70s from the Eagleson family, and I saw tears in their eyes and great pride of having this recognized, of their connection to our city through the years.
Very, very cool. So that's the new. you call the post office, you call the USPS, and you, how does just from a, I know it's a dopey question, but it's how does all that work?
Well, that's why we had 4 months for people
Good
to
point.
Prepare for that. So the letter carrier, I saw a guy out today, letter carrier, they're ready. They've been ready for it. I did have somebody mention this kind of an interesting say, well, it's not that hard. Just pretend that you moved to a new address. You just don't have to move. You don't have to pack anything up, but it's just as if you changed your address and you moved. You do the same kind of things. And we know that's not simple. I don't want to make light of it. It does mean businesses and people, residences, have to change their addresses. But it's just as if you moved, you do the same thing. It's just you don't have to pack up any boxes this time.
That's exactly right. Fill out a form, get online, do all that stuff. That shouldn't be too terribly difficult. And Mayor Hamilton, if people can just go to the city's website if they want to learn more about the Black History Month. Black health and wellness is the theme of this year's celebration, and you can find more information at the City of Bloomington's website. So I'm glad we're doing all these things today. What's going on Thursday? Don Griffin's going to join me, the deputy mayor, so we'll get a live man in the streets, well, probably not in the streets, around the streets, update.
Tell him to wear his boots and his hat. Maybe he can do a live broadcast from the blizzard. I don't know. We'll see.
That's what we're trying to figure out right now for the old radio. Somebody has to be here to flip the switches, but we'll be... it'll be like the Al Franken, where you get the big thing on your head where the mobile device, yeah.
the antenna. Have you been practicing your back-end parking, Mike? I'm checking on you.
No, I have not. I've driven down Lincoln Street, and I noticed there is plenty of room to practice if that is the case. It's only on the west side of the street, so the Boys and Girls
That's
Club
right.
have all of their access on the east side, which is great. But no, I haven't got out there yet, and I'm not going to try this week because I don't want to enjoy it, and then all of a sudden it snows 8 inches. That's not good. Well, we ask you and yours to be safe. I know you've had a busy day, and it'll continue tonight as well. We'll get a full update next Tuesday, and Don will check in with us on Thursday, and we'll see how it's going. Now, I don't want you to get in the prediction business, but you've seen crazy forecasts. I've seen crazy.
Yeah.
We've heard this and that. I'll give you a multiple choicer. Do you think?
Oh, good. Give me a test. Give me.
That's
a choice.
Right. Do you think we will get A? What is projected by those who do weather for a living? B. More than what is going to be expected, as we saw yesterday. Yesterday, the projection was 8 to 12. Or C, will this just be a big, hopefully, to-do about nothing?
Well, I'm going to predict less than predicted.
Okay.
I think we tend to, whether people like to get us ready for worse, but I will hope so. We do need to be ready, be prepared, but I bet you it'll be less, but I'm not betting much, so.
Gotcha.
We'll
I'm with you, but the only thing that bothers me, I hope you're right, but I would trade a foot of snow for anything not to do with ice.
Yeah, I did see
that's
that
the,
ice. That's kind of scary. Because
then
like
you get
that.
Into power lines,
yeah.
and then if it's cold and you don't, then you got a whole other set of circumstances on there. So
people slipping and breaking their wrists and all kinds of stuff. So I hope we don't get ice, but I bet you we'll just have to wait and see. Keep us posted on the weather, will you?
I will, my friend. Join us next Tuesday, and we'll get caught up on how it all went.
Thanks. Take care. Be safe.